Welcome back. Gotta Get Away, The Black Keys. A powerful generation of X-Men, superhumans, will be here in less than 100 years, according to an expert. Imagine a person who can play tennis like Andy Murray, think like Professor Stephen Hawking, and can live to 150, all in a body that looks and feels like it belongs to a 40-year-old. Where do I sign up? With human bioenhancements, this vision of superhuman could become a reality in a few hundred years. In fewer than a hundred years. This is according to an expert in the social and cultural impacts of technology. Professor Michael Bess told the Daily Mail Online exactly how he thinks this technology will enhance humans in the future. And that's just one of the stories our webmaster tonight, Sean Latasor, has posted up at the website coasttocoastam.com, and it's in the news section. You can listen to my weekly syndicated radio program, The Conspiracy Show, Sunday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern here in Toronto on Zoomer Radio, and you can stream it online at zoomerradio.ca, and we have about 30 affiliates throughout the United States, and for a full list of those affiliates, you can go to strangeplanet.ca and click on the radio page and then onto the affiliates page. Or you can take the show with you on your mobile device by downloading the free app, The Conspiracy Show, from Google Play and the Apple Store. When Tawny Cullen's 2-year-old son Josiah was diagnosed with severe autism, she felt like they'd been handed a prison sentence. She and her husband Joe wondered how God could have allowed this to happen. And they asked themselves, how could they possibly find hope for their future? 5 years later, Josiah, who was nonverbal and who was not formally taught to read or write, suddenly began typing on his iPad profound sentences about God, science, history, business, music, and heaven. Josiah's ongoing encounters launched his parents into a whole new world, and it's all documented in Josiah's Fire. Autism stole his words, God gave him a voice. And you're about to meet the author, Josiah's mother, Tawny Cullen, when Coast to Coast AM continues. Tawny Cullen worked in ministry for 13 years at a large multi-campus church in the Twin Cities, Minnesota, first as a communications and marketing director and then as a ministry director and pastor. When her son Josiah was diagnosed with autism, she blogged through the ups and downs of the early journey, and she and her husband Joe produced an award-winning documentary called Surprised by Autism. Cullen is passionate about sharing God's hope and healing, and she is the author of Josiah's Fire. Autism Stole His Words, God Gave Him a Voice. Tawny Cullen, welcome to Coast AM. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
My word, what an amazing, awe-inspiring story. Tell me about when you first started to notice that there was something different with Josiah.
Well, you know, our little guy, he was born in October 2005, and he was healthy, and he was wonderful. And as first-time parents, we did everything that we, you know, thought we were to do. You know, we had solid jobs, solid faith, solid friends. We had just bought our first single-family home. We were ready to start our family. And really, for the first, you know, more than year and a half, everything was going really well.
He met his milestones.
He was happy, social, and then around 22 months old, over about a period of 3 weeks' time, he rapidly declined. He started, he lost eye contact. He started losing words that he had, you know, words like mama and dada and nana. And he started kind of obsessing over light switches, on, off, on, off. And it was like he was disconnecting from us. He lost play skills. And we thought we were losing him altogether. It was terrifying, and we didn't really know what to do, what was going on. So we mobilized very quickly, you know, went to the doctor, and the doctor even said, well, you know, why don't you come back in 6 months or so? I think he's doing fine. You know, kids, boys develop later than girls, you know, that sort of thing. And I said, well, what's my other option? And so, you know, for about 3 months, we went through every battery of tests you can imagine. And finally, we found ourselves in a boardroom with doctors around the table giving us the final pronouncement, autism spectrum disorder, followed by the words, no known cause, no known cure, lifelong.
Ah, I cannot imagine. And yet, as we know, there are millions of parents, families going through this. And so at what, how old was Josiah at this point when you finally got a diagnosis?
He was just past 2 years old at that point.
Two. And so the, at this point, had he lost virtually all of his verbal skills?
Yes. You know, he had had about maybe 45 words. I even had in his little baby journal, you know, oh, you're saying this and you're saying that. And then all of a sudden, over time, those just continued to slip away, until really we lost them all. And we ended up mobilizing so fast. We got him into a therapy center, 40 hours a week of behavioral therapy and occupational therapy and speech therapy. And, you know, like he was at 2 years old going to a full-time job, basically.
Right.
We really didn't have much that was offered to us from a medical standpoint. We did as much as we could from an alternative, you know, biomedical standpoint, special diets, you know, vitamins. I even sat with him in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber for 40 dives. You know, all of these things we did. And of course, as a Christ follower, as a mother, I'm like, I'm praying all the way. I'm asking God's help. I'm wondering what I'm supposed to do with this. You know, when we prayed over him every day, how did this happen? How do I wrestle through the spiritual part of this? And it was like in our lives, someone told us, you know, you're going to have to put your pedal to the metal, but basically we're going to throw on the emergency brake. You know, all of your best resources get burnt up, your emotional resources, your financial resources, your relational resources, and your spiritual resources. It really puts a strain on absolutely everything you can imagine. But really for me, I was faced for the first time in my life with something that I go, you know, I've been through some hard stuff, but this is this ongoing cycle of grief and unresolved. What am I supposed to do when God's word says, I have good plans for you? I have good plans for your child, plans to prosper, not to harm, plans to give hope in a future, when basically you've been told this is probably going to progress, this is going to get worse, and we really don't know why, and we really don't know what to do about it.
And you saw other children around Josiah who seemed to be improving with the therapy, and yet Josiah's decline continued. That must have been absolutely devastating.
Well, you really throw everything you can into, you know, what's called the 5-year window. So, you know, they talk about how the mind has, you know, plasticity in those early years. And so you're just doing everything you can to get your child into a more functional place. And even though we seriously did everything we could, he passes age 5 and we get an addendum to autism spectrum disorder, nonverbal, low functioning, severe. And basically, Josiah becomes one of the 40% of people with autism that they say, well, they're just going to be nonverbal. That, again, it's like going through kind of another grieving process, another sentence, another death in a way. You mean we're not going to know our son? We're not going to be able to have a conversation with our son? You know, by that time, you're obviously, as a parent, you're wanting to engage. You want to know what your child thinks. I mean, he was a pretty happy child, you know, but you just don't know what he wants. You don't know what he likes. You don't know what he thinks.
And were you being advised that Josiah perhaps might be institutionalized, or was there any discussion about that at this point?
Well, you know, certainly that's something that, you know, they throw out that reality early on. You know, there's lots of things that doctors will say, like, we don't want to get your hopes up, but And also, you know, well, this is the reality, or here's kind of what happens. But, you know, basically, these days, there's so much compared to even 10 years ago that really, you know, you try to just do the best you can for their best outcome. And there's a lot of things that can come around that, you know, for kids. But really, there were a lot of things I didn't know about. And it was when I was at a particular, I went to a conference, and they were talking about activities for the nonverbal child. So I'm thinking, I've got to learn some things. How can I relate with him? And I was sitting in this place, and I didn't realize they were going to be showing me kids that were like 14, 15 years old on video. And at that point, you know, my child's a little past five. And my heart broke as they said, you know, these kids, they get more violent as they get older. You know, puberty sets in. It's like you just basically, you need to keep them calm. You don't want them to put their head or their hand through the sheetrock or whatever. And, you know, from a functional skill standpoint, we at least want to teach them to be able to crush cans or shred paper, you know, keep them busy. And those words, crush cans, shred paper,
right,
just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Not the future you had envisaged for young Josiah.
Absolutely not.
Oh, dear. So, I mean, you're a spiritual person, and did you ever for a moment lose faith and say, you know, God, there's this whole idea of tearing somebody down so that you can build them up, but when does the tearing down end and the building up begin?
Well, sure. I mean, I absolutely went through a lot of roller coaster, I guess, of faith. You know, again, I'm working at a church. I have loved God from the time that I was little. And I remember at times, you know, there are a couple of pivotal times where I just sat down and I wrote 10 questions to God. And I just said, you know, God, I don't care what my pastor says. I don't care what my mom says, what my friends say. I need to hear from you. What do you feel about these things? You know, things like, do you still heal today? Do you still intervene in our lives today? You know, is everything just kind of que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be? Or, you know, when I open up my Bible and these promises that you have in your word are so audacious, you know, you just read even the list in Psalm 103 where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not even one of his benefits. And this whole list is absolutely astounding. And yet you're looking at this and you're going, I'm not seeing these benefits. What am I supposed to believe here? The Bible just can't be to me, you know, something that I open up and read over my Wheaties for my quote-unquote devotions for the day. Either this is real or I'm walking away from the whole thing, you know, and I need peace. I need help. And so, you know, I started engaging. I started pressing into God. I think when the heat gets turned up in your life in such a way, and people experience with various things, obviously sickness, finances, I think those are the two things that are really facing God's people more than anything, is sickness and finances.
Yes.
And
yes.
You look at that and you go, you know, what I'm seeing in front of my face is not measuring up to what supposedly God's plan for me is. And I just remember one particular day where I had just gotten so into autism and autism research and autism awareness and all of these things. It was actually this particular year, Autism Awareness Day. I'm watching things on TV. I'm reading. I'm getting ready to blog about this. And then I realized suddenly, it's not just Autism Awareness Day. Today is Good Friday. Today is the day when Jesus paid the price. He took our sin, our sicknesses. And so whose voice in my life is louder today? Whose awareness is grabbing the bulk of my affections today? Is autism and the quagmire of it pulling my affections? Or is what Christ did and what the cross did, is that pulling my affections? And that was a real crossroads day for me, where I just said, you know what, Lord, I repent. I have turned my affections to the problem and away from your promise.
You're beginning to identify yourself as, you know, the mother of an autistic child rather than as a Christian.
Exactly, exactly. And you really can, you know, there's something about the word acceptance and the word coping. You know, you hear that, especially when people are dealing with chronic illnesses. You need to accept it. You need to cope. And I just, you know, I looked in the Bible and I said, God, you've got to show me how to do this. Where does it say in the Bible, how do I accept this? How do I cope with this? And, you know, I just could not find one example or any language on how to, you know, settle in your heart this idea of, you know, accepting the limitations and coping with this issue. There just is no language for it. So I really had to wonder, was that okay for me? You know, how do you even pray? How do you even move forward? So I just started looking at, I really identified with the parents in the Bible, the desperate parents, you know, or parents to be, you know, the Hannahs, the Sarahs, the
right,
Marys,
right,
the Jairuses, you know, and especially Jairus, whose child was good as dead. And Jesus just took him and said, don't be afraid, just believe.
How was your husband?
To hold on to that.
Yeah, I'll bet. How was your husband Joe coping during this time?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we had such a good marriage, you know, for 8 years before we had Josiah. You know, marriage was great. I mean, we're so completely compatible. And then, you know, in those first nearly couple of years with Josiah, just everything was really going very well. And certainly this autism brought so much stress into our lives. And men and women grieve differently and at different times. They really process things very differently often. And you can kind of miss each other, miscommunicate with each other, take things out on each other that aren't necessarily the actual issue. And so, you know, as I was pressing in even more to God for my strength, I found that Joe was moving even further away in a lot of ways. And that was very difficult for a time as well. You know, Joe was kind of going into a little bit of like a situational depression, while I'm like trying to anchor to hope. And, you know, so we would have to kind of, we were navigating through, you know, a lot of those emotions.
And Josiah, how was, at this point, how is he coping with his inability to communicate? I mean, was it starting to manifest itself in violent outbursts?
You know, he's never been a really violent child. You know, frustrations, yes. I know so many families that really deal with a lot of violence and a high amount of frustration, and my heart absolutely breaks and goes out to them. They're this silent group that, you know, a lot of people just don't even understand what they go through. For Josiah, you know, he certainly was frustrated. The older he got, the more frustrated he got, not being able to express himself. He was using by that time, an iPad, and I had introduced that to him. And
I do want to get to the iPad, Tawny. Listen, pardon the interruption. We're going to head into a break, come back and continue to delve into this remarkable and ultimately uplifting story. Josiah's fire. Autism stole his words. God gave him a voice. Josiah's mother and the author Tawny Cullen stays with us on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Josiah's fire. Autism stole his words. God gave him a voice. The author Tawny Cullen is with us, and she is the mother of Josiah. Autism affects one in roughly every 50 school children in the United States, and it's the fastest growing disability in the U.S., growing at 14% per year around the world. There's no blood test, no scan, no image that can detect autism. Diagnosis relies on behavioral observation and screening. It's widely speculated that Albert Einstein, Isaac Newton, Andy Warhol, and even Bill Gates are on the autism spectrum. It's more common than childhood cancer, diabetes, and AIDS combined. But this story has a remarkable, remarkable message, and we'll get to it in mere moments when my conversation with Tawny Cullen continues here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett with you, coming to you from Coast's Toronto affiliate, Talk Radio AM 640. Tawny Cullen is with us, the author of Josiah's Fire. What is meant by the fire in the title, Tawny?
Josiah's name, it's a biblical name, after King Josiah in the Bible, and actually that name in Hebrew means fire of the Lord.
Ah, all right. And I guess that sort of took on new meaning, I mean, as his journey unfolded.
Yeah, well, it certainly did. Absolutely. When we named him that, we didn't know that seemingly his pilot light would go out and passion wouldn't look like you think it would, and then how things would change was quite prophetic, I would say.
So in an attempt to sort of reach Josiah and help him communicate, you got him an iPad. Tell me about how that process evolved.
Yeah, so we had iPod Touches, my husband and I, we're using this new communication technique or device, basically, and our son was kind of interested in it, so I had heard about this iPad that was coming out, and before it was ever talked about to be used for people with disabilities or with autism, I'm researching this and I'm going, this is going to be really important. This is going to be such a helpful tool. And I pre-ordered it, and we got it, the first day it got out. And that helped to open some doors for us. We were able to introduce that to his therapy center. And by that time, he's using picture communication, kind of, I want cookie, I have to go to the bathroom, on these, it's called picture exchange system. It's like pictures, attached to Velcro. And so we get an app that has those pictures on it. Josiah is liking this iPad. In fact, he's not doing well with actual puzzles and things like that at his therapy center. He's having a hard time putting things together. Yet one day he takes the iPad into his closet, comes back out, and has learned how to put puzzles together on the iPad very quickly.
So you quickly determined that
he's in there.
And this is the technology for him.
Right.
And you were reading, I understand, some Bible passages to him, and then you would, almost sort of like a reading comprehension or a listening comprehension, and then you would ask him what you said based on, you gave him a couple of choices, two, three choices,
right,
written on slips of paper. Tell me about that.
Basically, up to that point, I had heard of a documentary called A Mother's Courage, and watching that documentary, I saw a child that presented a lot like mine, and there was a particular method that was being shown there where kids like Josiah were being taught how to spell and learn by pointing at letters. And I was captivated. I found somebody 4.5 hours away from us that knew this technique, and so I took Josiah there to learn about it. And so it was there that I heard the words, assume age-level intelligence, speak to him like he's the age that he is. All of a sudden, how I was looking at him and talking with him and thinking about him started to change. We had been doing this particular communication method for about a year, and we had made some marginal progress. I mean, up to that point, he'd been able to spell very simple words, you know, that were like colors, you know, purple, orange, that sort of thing. But we knew he was in there. And so I'm sitting at the table one night, and I'm reading to him from the children's Bible. And so I read to him about how Jesus healed the blind man. I read that passage, and then I say, Josiah, Jesus healed the blind man. What did Jesus do? Did he H-E-A-L heal the blind man, or did he P-L-A-Y play with the blind man? You write that on a sheet of paper, rip the paper in half, tap heal, tap play. He chooses heal appropriately, and I said, okay, let's spell heal. We had kind of some stencil boards that you can poke at, but also the iPad up. That basically the letters were in big alphabetical order in buttons in front of them. So I said, okay, let's spell heal. He touches G. I'm thinking, oh, he's missing it. And then he touches O. I'm like, go? He goes on to spell his first independent sentence ever. He spells, God is a good gift giver.
Oh, my.
Wow. And, of course, at that moment, and that's not a phrase that I had given him. That's not a phrase we walk around talking about. At that moment, I was just stunned. I thought, am I on candid camera? Did I crack? What just happened?
You must have fallen over.
I felt lightheaded. I thought, oh my goodness, this is the moment we've been praying for. Like, is a miracle happening right now? I thought, he's getting healed. I mean, I'm just, you know, not even knowing what to do. And so I go back, I'm like, Josiah, yes, God is a good gift giver, but, you know, how do you know that? He goes on to type out, God is very capable.
Capable. He's only just recently started to spell simple, single
words. Yeah.
And now he's putting complete sentences together.
Yes.
God is very capable.
In front of my eyes. And, you know, it lights up on the little square, you know, rectangle part. And, you know, no spaces, no punctuation, just runs all together. But God is very capable. And it was at that moment that, you know, something divine, something supernatural, something intersected our lives that changed our lives forever right at that moment.
I guess so.
What turned the story.
Prior to that event, did you read the Bible to Josiah? Did he have Bible instruction? Did he attend church?
No, like he, you know, very, by that time he was kind of a little bit going to children's church, but he was always the kid that like had to be taken out, you know, special needs assistance one-on-one and not like sitting there absorbing, you know, stuff. But anything obviously that he was hearing from us was very rudimentary, like you would for a child. Like I said, the children's Bible, or, you know, very rudimentary children's stories. So no, not like he's absorbing, you know, theologically lofty things.
So again, just to summarize here, only recently had Josiah begin to type simple words, like a color, like purple.
Right. And often ones, just like I was presenting, where you give a choice and they type the right choice, you know, you're
right.
You're teaching them how to spell.
So suddenly, out of the blue, you ask him, you know, did God heal or did Jesus heal or did Jesus play with the blind man? And all of a sudden, he types, God is a good gift giver.
Yes.
And followed by, God is very capable.
And then he goes on, and I'm going, you know, what's going on here? I call up my husband who was on a business trip and tell him what's happened. I call up my mom. I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but this is what's happened. And that entire weekend, of course, I'm just asking him everything you can imagine because we haven't had a conversation, you know. I'm asking him what his favorite color is, what his favorite cartoon character is. You know, we're having these conversations. And I'm just shocked. Like, he's telling me things that I didn't know about him. And it was absolutely phenomenal and amazing. And as time goes on, this only continues. Now, imagine the tension, though, because this is happening, and I'm going, I mean, are we on the heels of, are we right at the precipice of a miracle? Is he going to be, like, delivered completely from autism? Like, what's going on here? But we keep moving forward, and as time goes on, he's writing things that are so, like, very spiritual in nature, talking about things like angels, talking about things that I'm trying to put together. How is he seeing this? How is he hearing this? What exactly is going on here?
And so are all his communications of a spiritual nature at this point? Or when you ask him more sort of, I guess, more mundane things, like what is your favorite cartoon, is he responding to that as well?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
spelling in full words.
Everything, you know, even from learning, you know, I remember one particular time it was amazing because he was having issues. He was upset, and I'm like, what is the matter? And he tells me that his foot was hurting. And I'm going, well, what's wrong with your foot? And he said, it's pokey. Like, he's typing, it's pokey in his shoe. And I'm like, I open up his shoe, and here there's like a little staple. You know, how would I know that?
Right.
How would we ever know that? You know, you have kids that are throwing tantrums, you know, that can't express themselves. And you're just like, you know, trying to override that. Well, there might be something very specific that's happening to them that needs to be tended to. Very simple things like that I just didn't take for granted in the least. So, yeah, we would have conversations with him, you know, I want ice cream, you know, that sort of stuff. So, and continues to this day. I mean, that's...
Right. But the spiritual insights that he's typing on the iPad, is he at times just offering them up without you having to prompt him or ask him?
Oh, most of the time he would offer, absolutely offer things up.
Can you share some more of his spiritual insights?
Pardon?
Could you share some more of those spiritual insights?
So let me just tell you, he was sharing things that were just like, you know, he would start sharing almost wisdom words, like Proverbs type words, Psalms type words, very poetic things. Things like faith is picture it done. Faith is believing for kites to fly when there's no wind in sight.
That's beautiful, actually.
It's absolutely beautiful. And he would be coming out with these things, and then it was like he was knowing things that he'd never been taught. Things that we'd have to go look up on Google to see, like, is that true? Like,
such as, can you give me an example?
Yeah, sure. So one day I came back from a trip to Arizona, and I brought him back a lizard, and, you know, one of those rubber lizards. And so I'm talking with him about it. I was like, oh, what do you want to name the lizard? And he goes on to spell that, you know, a lot of people think that lizards have scales, but they're actually aspiration pores.
Aspiration pores? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. And then he goes on to spell that lizards have ageless tails, and a lot of them, something like a lot of them mate for you know, some of them mate for life. And there's all these things that I'm going, I know that at school they're not teaching him this stuff. I don't know this stuff. We're typing this into Google, and it's like, yeah, they regrow their tails when they get chopped off. You know, we don't know anything about this. And it's like he's knowing things that we don't know. And I'm like, how do you know these things? And he's like, well, Jesus teaches me. Jesus taught me the order of sounds. And I'm like, like, hooked on phonics? I mean, you know, how is this working? I mean, you know, it's as
and how old is he? How old is he at this point?
It's as crazy as that to me. You know, I I'm
How old is he at
13
this
for a
point? How old is he at
seven.
this point? He's seven,
Seven.
and he's typing words like aspiration.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it's absolutely phenomenal. And so one day I'm like trying to press him. I'm going, you got to put this together for me. And I say, Josiah, you know, if I give you a line, will you fill in the blanks? And so I said to him, my favorite place in heaven is, and he goes on to spell out his first like poem or song. He writes, my favorite place in heaven is over peaceful waters. Peace is real. Tired souls naturally test peace. Roses are so stunning. Worship the king. Sing loud to the prized pardon who requires praise. Angels taste of his holiness, ordained great attitude of praise. Help us worship the Lord together, please him. All you hail the King of Majesty forever. Make a noise to the King on the throne.
Age seven.
Seven. I
My
was
word.
like, whoa. I don't know how you can write something like that, how anybody can, without having somehow accessed that.
And when he's writing this, not this, I'm just curious, not that it matters, but I mean, are there spaces between the words? Are the words spelled
No.
correctly?
No. So, first of all, overwhelmingly spelled correctly, you know, 97% of the time, yes. No spaces, no punctuation at this point. So everything that he types on an iPad, and I'm not talking, he's sitting down and he's fluidly typing. You know, he types one arduous letter at a time with a pointer finger. But everything that he spells on his iPad is saved. So I have hundreds of pages, you know, of, you know, in the early days, I had to break them apart because they were literally, yeah, no spaces, no punctuation.
And you asked him, you know, where are you learning this from? And he said, Jesus. Take me
Yes.
back to that moment when that happened, when he told you, when he typed it out, Jesus is telling me this.
Well, I just didn't understand it. You know, even though I'm a Christ follower, I'm a you know, I love God and I all of those things. This is not on my spiritual grid, what's happening. This is not something that I could have conceived of. In fact, it's so outlandish that I almost was kind of like, why does this have to be so weird? I can't even hardly share this with anybody because, you know, even working at a church, what are people going to think of me?
Well, that was my next question. Did you show it to anyone at the church?
Well, you know, over time, there were obviously very trusted people that, you know, I would in private talk to, and, you know, my campus pastor, was telling him kind of what was going on, but certainly I had to be very cautious with this information. And, you know, as a person who I care a lot about my reputation. I care a lot about my integrity and you know what I've done to that point. And this stuff was just out there. you know, you're a show where I'm sure people are used to out there. I wasn't used to out there.
No. And for Joe, did this bring him back on the sort of a spiritual path immediately, or did it take time? Was he a doubting Thomas?
Kind of both. So yes, it was like hope was filling our home again. It was like there was an atmosphere shift in a lot of ways. There was something that was happening in that. But you know, we still had to deal with all of the very real things of autism. You know, lack of sleep
Sure,
and all sorts
sure.
of issues. And Josiah is still presenting with all of these things. And as time goes on, you know, a lot of times in your faith, it's the waiting, it's the disappointments of
Oh, you got that
time.
right. Yeah. Listen, Tani, we're going to take a time out. Stay with us. We'll open up the phone lines, questions and comments. And we'll get back to our conversation with Tawny Cullen, author of Josiah's Fire, Autism Stole His Words, God Gave Him a Voice. Here's the bard from Belfast, Van Morrison, taking us into the break.